Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. You can find it by going to Matthew and then go back one book to the left. We are in a series on loving Jesus personally, passionately, and publicly. As you've heard earlier, that is our focus for 2011. So we're asking the question, how do we love Jesus personally and passionately and publicly? What does that mean? What does that look like? And we're finding the answers in the book of Malachi. And we're kind of going about it in a little backwards way, because the people of Israel in Malachi's day were not loving God personally and passionately and publicly. And so God is greatly burdened by this, and He sends the prophet Malachi to address the nation and to give them a stern word of warning. Some of the strongest rebukes that we find anywhere in Scripture, and we're going to see one today, are found in this book. Because God's people were not properly responding to His love. And so, we're seeing what they should be doing, how they should be loving God, and in so doing, we'll see what it means for us to love Him personally and passionately and publicly. And today, we're seeing the passionate and the public aspect of it in particular. Now, last week, the first thing I said is to love Jesus personally, passionately, and publicly means that you accept God's love for you by faith, based on His Word, not by sight. You can never base God's love for you on what you see going on around you. You're not capable of understanding everything that God's doing in your life. We cannot see the whole picture. And therefore, we see only a little part of the picture, and we think God's being mean or cruel to us, or God is not showing love toward us because things are not going as we wanted them to go. And we've got to step back and say, I must accept God's love for me by faith, based on His Word. What God says, not what I see. And the nation of Israel was doing that. They were responding by what they were seeing going on around them. They'd been back from the exile for 100 years, and they'd not seen the great prosperity that they thought the prophets had prophesied would take place. The temple was rebuilt, but far less glorious than Solomon's temple. And so they were looking around saying, God, You've left us. You've forsaken us. They didn't think God loved them. And so God comes to them and says, look at Jacob and Esau. Who did I choose? And God gives them proof. Well, today we're going to see the second way to love Jesus personally, passionately, and publicly. And that is that we are to give Him the honor due His holy name. Give Him the honor that is due Him. And we'll begin reading our passage today in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Malachi. And I'll read all the way down to the 9th verse of chapter 2. So stand in reverence for the Word of God as I read. God is speaking. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where's my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You're presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? When you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now, will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense is going to be offered in my name, and grain offerings that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled. And as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am the great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. And now this commandment is for you, O priest. If you do not listen, if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, and indeed I have cursed them already, because you're not taking it to heart. Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feast, and you'll be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the message of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you've turned aside from the way. You've caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. You may be seated. May God bless the reading and hearing, and most of all, the obeying of His Word. The key word today is the word honor. As this word is used in the Hebrew, it literally means weight. It means heavy. That which is of great worth. To honor means to highly respect. It means to highly regard. To esteem highly. To value with great value. To revere. To appreciate. To prize, to admire. And because God has supreme love for us, we are to respond by giving Him the honor due His holy name. That means that we are to give Him great respect, high regard. We're to esteem Him highly. We are to value Him above all things. We're to appreciate and admire Him greatly. Israel was not doing this. And God gives them some words of very stern rebuke. His anger burned brightly against them because they failed to give Him the honor due His name. Now the question that I want you to be asking yourself this morning, am I giving God the honor due Him? Am I giving Him that honor due Him? Or am I guilty as Israel was in Malachi's day? God takes two relationships that we all are familiar with. The relationship of a father and son and a servant and his master in verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. You see, we recognize that it is proper for a son to honor his father. God clearly commands in the Ten Commandments to honor your mother and your father. We recognize that there is an order that God has created, and that there are those whom we should give honor, whom we should respect. Now, God has spoken of himself as Israel's father over in Exodus 4:22. Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So if Israel is to show honor to their earthly fathers, how much more should they show honor to their heavenly father, to God? In fact, in Israel's day, if a son failed to show honor to his father and instead rebelled against him, it was a capital offense. He was killed. He was stoned. Yet God says, I'm your father. So where is the honor due my name? I'm a master. Where is the honor due me? And God did speak of himself as Israel's master in Isaiah 44. He says, but now listen, O Jacob, my servant. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel. As their exalted master, he deserved their great admiration, their great respect, their great honor. If they respected their earthly masters, how much more should they respect God? But they were not. God says, if I am your master, where's my respect? But instead of honoring God, they were despising him. And this word despise means to accord little value, little worth. It means to treat with contempt. And God says in verse 6, O priest who despise my name. They were despising him. God says, I'm your father. I'm your master. You should be treating me with great respect, but instead, you're treating me like dirt. To be trampled on. To be walked on. So Israel questions God's charge. But you say, how have we despised your name? How have we not given you the honor due you? They're asking. Now this is rather alarming to me, because he was not talking to the murderers. He was not talking to the prostitutes. God was talking to the church people, to the priest. And they're saying, how have we despised you? How have we treated you like dirt? Now it seems then that we as Christians, or it's possible for us to treat God dishonorably, to fail to give him the honor due his name, and we don't realize it for some reason. It's possible for us to undervalue God and not realize it. If we give God simply the honor we give our earthly father, our earthly authorities, that is so much less than he deserves as our heavenly father, as our king. Are we not in a measure comparatively despising him when we don't give him extremely high honor and respect? God gives them the proof that they're not honoring him. They were undervaluing, despising him, both in their actions and in their attitudes. And we're going to look at the actions first. He says first that they were presenting defiled sacrifices on his altar. Verse 7, you're presenting defiled food upon my altar. Now, don't get confused by this word food. He's not talking about what you and I call food. But sacrifices were called the food of God in the Old Testament. So he's talking about the sacrifices that they bring. And he says, but you are presenting defiled food. But how have we defiled you? Look what he says in verse 8. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? When you present the lame and the sick, is it not evil? You see, over in Leviticus chapter 22, God gave some very clear instructions, commands, concerning offering him sacrifices. And let me just read those for you. They're up on the screen. Now you just look at how clear they are. Nothing ambiguous about it at all. Israel was well aware of these commandments. Beginning in verse 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, and to all the sons of Israel, and say to them, any man of the house of Israel, or of the aliens in Israel, who presents his offering, whether it is any of their votive or any of their freewill offerings, which they present to the Lord for a burnt offering, for you to be accepted, it must be a male without defect from the cattle, the sheep, or the goats. Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it will not be accepted for you. When a man offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to fulfill a special vow, or for a freewill offering of the herd or of the flock, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Those that are blind or fractured or maimed or having a running sore or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make of them an offering by fire on the altar of the Lord. The sacrifices were to be perfect, for they were to be a foreshadow of the ultimate perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus himself. Israel knew this, and yet they were bringing the sick and the lame animals, the blind animals, to God as a sacrifice. They would go out and take the old lamb that was so sick it was going to die anyway and say, "I'll take this and give it to God." God says, "Try giving that to your governor. See if he's satisfied with it. See if he'll look on it with approval. And yet you bring it to me?" Are you and I guilty of giving God the leftovers in our lives? Do you give God the leftover time? "Well, I give most of my time goes to work. And then when I get home from that, well, you know, I got to have some me time, preacher. I got to unwind. I got to relax. And then after I have my me time, well, you know, then I got to have family time. I mean, you tell us to have family time, don't you? And then I got to have a little more me time. Because I got to get ready to go to work tomorrow. Got to get rested. And then I got about 10 minutes left over at the end of the day, right before I turn out the light, that I can give you, God. I'll read a few verses. I'll say a prayer. I'll give you those 10 minutes. Is that showing God the honor due His name? What about your efforts? Do you give God your best efforts? You know, we have people who sign up for the nursery, and they just don't show up. Don't call anybody. Let them know they're not coming. They just don't show up. Now, you try to do that at work and see what happens. Give it to your governor. See, do that at work and see what happens. Can't you do it to God? Supposed to be helping in children's church? Don't show up. Don't tell anybody. Don't call. Just don't show up. You'd be fired at work in a heartbeat. "But Lord, but preacher, I volunteer." Yes, but you're volunteering to God. Not to me, but to God. Are you giving Him the honor due His name? What about your money? Are you just giving Him your leftovers? Do you wait till the end of the week, Saturday night, and you look at your checkbook and say, "Well, now let's see. We can give $5 today." Or, "Well, man, there's nothing left. God, I'm sorry, but I had this bill and that bill." You know why God told Israel to bring the first fruits? Because He knew if we didn't bring it first, we'd end up spending it. Are you giving God the honor due His name? Israel was not. They were bringing him the maimed and the leftovers. You see, the truth is, you cannot separate the sacrifice of your offering from your honor of God. If there's no sacrifice involved, it does not show any honor. Right? You remember when David numbered the people of Israel? And because of that, God sent a plague. And God told David, if you will stay the hand, if you want to stay the hand of the angel before he takes Jerusalem, you need to go and get the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite, and you need to offer an offering on that threshing floor. And so he went to Ornan and he told him what he needed to do. And Ornan said, well, I'll give it to you. You can have the threshing floor. I'll even give you the wood from the oxen yoke, and then I'll even provide the oxen for you to offer the sacrifice. Let me do that for you, King David. I'll be glad to do it. You know what David said? No. Far be it from me to give a sacrifice, an offering to the Lord, which cost me nothing. That lame animal was probably going to die anyway. What sacrifice was that to give it? But now to go to the best of the flock, to go to that one without blemish, that prize lamb, that prize cow, and give it. And that was a sacrifice. That showed honor. That showed respect. That showed how worthy God was. Your neighbors probably know you're a Christian. I hope they do. If they don't, then we got a problem to start off with. Now, even non-Christians know Christians go to church on Sunday morning, don't they? Our culture knows that. So what does that neighbor think about your value of your God when they look out there on Sunday morning at 10:30, 11 o'clock, and you're sitting on your patio drinking your coffee, reading your paper? Man, he just really honors his God, doesn't he? What do they think? But when they see you drive up at 12:30 and you're getting out, you've been dressed up for church, they wave, they know. You've been honoring your God. Give Him the honor due His name. Yet they still ask God's blessing. Look in verse 9. But now will you not entreat God's favor that He may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will He receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? They were undervaluing God's altar, but they saw nothing wrong with violating His word and yet still asking Him to bless them. That's like a man who makes $50,000 a year, goes out to eat every Saturday night, spends $30 or $40 to eat, then he comes on Sunday morning, throws $5 in the offering plate and says, God bless me. That's what that's like. Dishonoring God, undervaluing Him, and yet saying, God, bless us. Bless us. It's like somebody coming on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, saying, God, this 11 to 12 is your time. Don't let the preacher go past 12. 11 to 12 is your time, God. Now I gave you that hour, and bless me. Bless me, Lord. Like someone living in disobedience to God and wanting God to still bless them. You know what God said? He said He'd rather have no offering than a half-effort, lame offering. Look at what He says. Verse 10. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar, for I am not pleased with you. God rather have no gifts than to have contemptible gifts. God rather you keep your $5. You're making $50,000, $60,000 a year. Now, if all you got is five and it's a sacrifice to give it, He rejoices in that. But if it doesn't cost you one bit to sacrifice, you throw more than that down at McDonald's for a snack. And God said, don't give it. Don't don't trouble me with it. You see, God looks at the heart first, then at the gift. God says, put yourself in the offering plate first, then put your money in there. If the offerer is not right, then the offering is not right with him. He says, I wish somebody would just shut the doors. Don't let them in church. Because they're just making me sick. Not pleased with it. He says, they are profaning my name, verse 12. But you're profaning it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled and it's for its fruit, its food is to be despised. Remember, he's talking about the sacrifices. He goes on to say, but you say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it. They're treating God as common and ordinary. They're profaning His name. They're taking His name in vain. Imagine again the non-Israelite living next door to the Israelite. And he sees that Israelite go out to his pen where he keeps his lambs. And again, this non-Israelite, he knew the culture. He knew they sacrificed to their God, Yahweh. So he's looking out to see what sacrifice this Israelite's going to pick. He sees the Israelite walk past this nice lamb, spotless. And he goes over this one that can't even get up. He's laying there, sick. And he sees him pick up that one to take it, to offer to his God. Now what does that non-Israelite think about the God? Him, honor, do his name. Are you treating God as common and ordinary and not special by the gifts you bring to Him? What about the singing you lifted up to Him this morning? Did that show the honor due His name? Did it show you highly prized and respected Him? You see, Israel was despising God in their actions. But not only that, they were despising God in their attitudes. They had contempt for God's altar. My, how tiresome it is! And you disdainfully sniff at it. They were tired of coming and giving their offerings. They sniffed at them. They made light of it. Their contempt was clear from the fact they were bringing things they had gotten through robbery. Can you imagine? And the lame and the sick, he says, in offering those. Should I receive those from your hand, says the Lord? God says, they did not even keep their vows to Him. Verse 14. But cursed be the swindler who is a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. My name is to be feared among the nations. There was a guy who had a lamb without blemish. He'd even said, I'm going to give that lamb without blemish. He made that promise to the Lord. But when it came time, he went out and instead of giving that lamb, he changed his mind and gave one of the sick ones instead. And thought that honored God. You ever made a promise to God and not kept it? God, I promise I'm going to start tithing. I promise I am. And the end of the month comes and bills mount up. Well, God, I can't do it. I know you understand. Oh, I just can't do it today. Can't do it this week. We'll have to just back off on that promise. This was a grievous sin because they'd made a promise to the Lord God, the King of the universe. And yet they were treating Him with such low esteem and contempt that they wouldn't even keep their word to Him. Now if I give you my word, I'm going to do everything in my power to keep it. I think that much of you. Now how little must you think of someone if you look at them straight in the face, make them a promise, but you know all along you're not going to keep it?
What contempt does that show for that person in your eyes? But that's exactly what they were doing to God. Making promises, but not keeping them. Now here God gives a very strong rebuke to these priests. Chapter 2. Now this commandment is for you, O priest. And who are the priests in the New Testament? We are. If you do not listen and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts. If you and I, after hearing this message, do not take time to look at our lives and say, God, am I failing to give you the honor due you? Then here's what you can expect. Then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessing. And indeed, I have cursed him already because you're not taking it to heart. Behold, I'm going to rebuke your offspring. He says, you're going to have less children and grandchildren. He said, I will spread the refuse on your faces. Folks, that word refuse is the word manure. The Hebrew word for dung. He said, I'm going to take the dung of the animals that you sacrificed and I'm going to spread it on your face. Now that's about as high an act of contempt as you and I can think of, isn't it? I mean, you really rather have somebody spit in your face or spread manure in your face. But God says, this is how upset I am with you guys. For failing to give me the honor due my name, I'm going to take the refuse of your sacrifices, spread it on your face, and then I'm going to throw you aside just like you throw the manure aside. And I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feast, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, and my covenant may be continued with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Now he compares the priest, what a priest should do, and with what they are doing. He says in verse 5, my covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. Aaron stood in awe. He reverenced God. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. From the lips of the priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. A priest should walk godly in his walk with God. His heart should be one to spread the truth and word of God to people. He said, but instead you priests are doing just the opposite. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of the Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you're not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality and instruction. God was very displeased. He was angry. He was very upset because his people were not giving him even the common honor that a child should give a parent or slave a master, much less the high honor due his name. Now let's go back to the question that I wanted you to think about at the beginning. Having seen Israel, and how they were failing to honor God in their actions and in their attitudes, giving Him leftovers, giving Him what they really didn't want anyway, giving Him which cost them absolutely nothing, really. There was no sacrifice involved in it. Are you honoring God in your life, in your giving, in your service to Him? In your attitudes? Are you giving Him the honor due His holy name? Let's pray. Father, forgive us for not giving You the high, exalted honor that you deserve. For not living in a way that causes those who know us to see how much we prize you as our Lord and God, as our Savior. May we give you nothing but the best of our efforts, of our abilities, of our time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.